Well, if you were wondering why we were singing 8 verses, take heart, the original version of that hymn had 11. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. John saw in the truest sense what we could call an awesome sight. He saw God seated on his royal throne, Jesus at his side, but in the form of a lamb, sacrificially slain and yet alive. Around them were 24 elders, beings who were representative of God's faithful servants of the old and new covenants, sons of Israel and apostles of Jesus joined as one. There were mysterious living creatures, 4 of them with faces of a lion, an ox, a man, and an eagle, and they were singing divine praises in harmony with a thunderous angel chorus. That was the first time John saw that vision. The second time is what we read or heard read in our reading today, our first reading from Revelation 7. And that time, John saw this heavenly gathering accompanied also by a great congregation of human worshipers, dressed in white robes, waving palm branches in the air, joyfully praising God and the Lamb for their salvation. These God worshipers were truly multi-ethnic, including people from every nation, all tribes and peoples and languages, like the sand on the seashore, and the stars in the sky. They were beyond counting. And as John took all of this in with wonder, one of those elders came to him with a question. Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? Well, that question stumped John. He watched and heard the great gathering at worship, but he was unsure what it was he was seeing, and so he turned to that elder for help. Sir, you know. And yes, he did know. And he gave John his insight. These are they, the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These whom John saw and heard at worship were all those redeemed and washed holy by the sin-atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. They were those of whom Jesus had once spoken, the many who would come from east and west and recline at the feast table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who were they? They were all the saints, the faithful people of God in Jesus from all times in history and all places on earth. What a faith-lifting sight for John to see. When John was given this vision, he was alone, exiled on a penal colony on the small Greek island of Patmos. He was an old man by this time, far past the prime of his earthly life. He was a pastor who had been snatched away from the fellowship of the 7 congregations that were under his care in the province of Asia. Before having this vision of which we heard today, John saw Jesus himself, and he wrote, as the Lord dictated, 7 short sermons, one for each of John's congregations, sermons that made it clear that none of John's parishes was ideal. Some were struggling with false teachings. Others were tempted by sexual immorality or worldly self-satisfaction. And a number of them were suffering severe persecution from their neighbors. What could such a weak and vulnerable people have in common with the glorious multitude that John saw in his vision? Over the last few months, I've been reading a book on church history. And I have to admit that at first glance, reading church history is not a very faith-lifting experience. If we come to it expecting church history to be an inspiring story of noble and righteous Christians faithfully preaching and serving throughout the world and living blissfully free of conflicts, heresies, scandals, political ambition, greed, violence, and even doubt and unbelief, we'll be disappointed. The church we might wish for or desire is not the church of history. Christians did certainly preach the gospel. They did care for the sick and the dying, and they gave their lives for Jesus, yes. But they also denied their Lord. Some even hated and killed in his name, and others embraced and spread false gospels. Even our beloved Martin Luther, who restored the sweet gospel to this world, at one time wrote a tract that was filled with anger against the Jews because of their failure to receive the gospel of Jesus. The church we see in life is often not much like the church that was revealed to John in the Patmos vision. Even so, the glorious white-robed ones that John saw were, in this life, men and women and children who were gathered in congregations around God's word and sacraments throughout the ages. Sinners they certainly were until they died, but by the grace of God proclaimed to them in the message of Jesus, poured upon them in holy baptism, and served to them in holy communion, they truly were saints who believed that the salvation that belonged to God and the Lamb was theirs through Jesus Christ. In this life, our eyes must behold God at work in his church by his saving grace alone. And his church, his people, are often cracked, weak, and still sinful, just like me, just like you. I still struggle, even though I've been a Christian for 30 years and a pastor for almost 25. I still have that sense of fear as I try to begin to talk to somebody about Jesus. It's still a struggle for me. My mind goes in thinking, oh, well, what if I offend them? Or what if they get mad at me? I'm weak because of my sin. You have your own spiritual battles that you struggle with. Churches that were once strong in their witness for Christ's love get bogged down in selfishness and sinful ways. And the light of Christ's saving grace is obscured and doesn't reach out to the neighbors in their communities the way it ought. But to keep the struggling church on earth of all ages from losing hope and faith, Jesus gave his revelation to his old servant John. John saw and wrote to encourage us to turn from our attention from the persistent failures and shortcomings that plague us as sinners in this world, and to fix our eyes instead upon what we will see in eternity because Jesus died for us and rose from the dead. We live by faith. None of us saw God create the heavens and the earth. We only have God's word on it, but that's what we believe, his testimony. We were not present when Jesus accomplished our salvation by shedding his blood on the cross and giving his life and taking it up again in his resurrection. We have God's word written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, and the other New Testament writers. And in that, we trust. Our eyes can't perceive Jesus' presence in baptismal water. It just looks like water to us. Nor do we see Christ present with his body and blood in bread and wine that we eat and drink that comes from our altar. However, we hear with our ears the good news of forgiveness and eternal life that God gives to us through them. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God's people, we live by faith in our faithful God. While we remain in this life, our true life is hidden in Jesus with God. But John's vision assures us that it will not remain hidden forever. Look again at what John saw. Who are these clothed in white robes? They're all the saints. And their great number includes people of the Old and New Testaments alike. They also include you and me. For through our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection to eternal life is our hope and our future. Christ's resurrection has already assured ours. In God's mind, it's a done act. Because he lives, so shall we. So join with John in the exclamation of joy that he wrote in his first letter. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. We saints on earth cannot see what those in heaven already see. But we can hear and read what John saw. And that revelation encourages us to live each day in repentance from our sins and faith in our forgiving Lord. To be servants of God. To patiently endure our trials in life. And to eagerly anticipate our final deliverance. For though we weakly struggle in this life, Jesus promises us that our time to shine with God's glory will arrive. As we worship together today, we prepare to sing our part in that heavenly song. Salvation belongs to our God and to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. As we offer ourselves each day as servants of Jesus, we're in rehearsal for the life that we will live in God's eternal presence. When we kneel or stand to eat the Lord's feast of victory. Through the body and blood of Christ that we eat and drink, we partake of a holy communion with our Lord Jesus and with the spirits of the saints who have already gone before us. So do not lose heart. Don't be afraid, dear children of God. The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne is and will always be our shepherd. Life and peace are and will always be ours through him. Amen. We have God's word on it. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.